This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. If I speak into the mic, this is probably going to be a whole lot better.
There, Jandy, that was hot.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. It is just after 10. This is Sex Talk with Jonty Searle and a studio full of interesting and sexy and gorgeous and fascinating people.
Not me.
Definitely me.
Woo! Yeah, so we have with us here this morning, Tamar's here. Good morning.
Good morning, Jonty.
And Claudine is here, because if she wasn't, she was going to get a serious spanking this week.
Oh, shit. I should have missed it.
And so call for Bruce to be here.
Who's it?
And Deborah is with us.
Hi.
Deborah. Yay. Very cool. So, you've never been with us here before.
I haven't. No, it's my first time.
Okay, the first time is always interesting, isn't it?
I like, she's popping it, Jerry.
I like first times. So, let us begin with this, and then we'll get into sexual choice and what that means.
Ninja sex. Chocolate starfish. Twitter bag. Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
Jack Shack.
What?
Dirty dictionary word.
Jack Shack. Any ideas? Tomorrow, Jack Shack. Before you stop making funny faces.
Well, no, I'm trying to take a picture of you. Actually, I have a good one. I have no idea. Basically, it might be a stud that is shagging girls in his, you know, it's like a come to my Jack Shack.
Nowhere near. Deborah, Jack Shack.
I can't even begin to think what it might be. Somewhere you masturbate in private?
Somewhere you masturbate? No, but it's an interesting one. Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking along those lines as well, like a man cave, but specifically for, you know, like where Jack does his shack.
Where Jack does his shack. Okay.
Well, I am thinking of jacking off. So, I do think that it's jacking or whacking in a private place, in a little shack.
Okay.
How close are we?
No. Well, you
on a scale of 1 to 10,
about a
break it to us.
Yeah, about a 5.
Oh shit!
There's half that.
Will he
right.
live, Doctor?
There's
will
half he live? That's right.
Oh, do you know what it could be? What if it is jacking off into something?
Okay, now you're getting colder. Now we're kind of down to 4 or 3.
Okay, I'm not even trying anymore.
Okay, so please join our conversation on 0861-555-189. We're on WeChat. We are on Twitter at which Twitter account?
The normal one, yeah, sex._CliffC.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've posted a video clip on our page on the website that Bruce is going to tell us about.
Well, basically, so what it talks about there is something called PrEP. And so because we're talking about choices and sexual awareness around choices, that's sort of where I come in. And that's about being educated about the choices that you make. So it's all great to be free and liberated and to make these awesome choices about stuff, but you need to know information first. So there is this stuff that you can take, which is called PrEP. It's known as
preparation age.
No, that's different.
Which is not a really good lube, by the way.
Oh. No, really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
what? Not good as a lube.
Okay, good to know.
I thought you use it for hemorrhoids, actually.
Yeah, so if you're in the area, people might think, okay, so this might be a multi-purpose product.
Yeah, some people do that. It's already there, it's moist.
Yeah, so, but it's not.
No, so what this is, PrEP, it's pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is basically, it's an ARV that you take if you think that you might find yourself in a situation where you could be exposed to the HIV infection. So it just it reduces the chances of you becoming HIV positive by over 90%. So you, for example, might be in a relationship, in a serodiscordant relationship where you or your partner is HIV positive and the other one is HIV negative, and you want to be able to have unprotected sex with this person and minimize your chances of infection, then you would take PrEP. But a lot of people are taking PrEP now who are not in long-term relationships or who are single and would just like to have that added level of you know, protection to make sure that they don't stand the risk of being HIV infection.
I don't understand. Infected. What is it exactly? Is it a pill or a cream or
It's a pill. So it's ARV. Okay. So the stuff has been around, Truvada, ARV. It's like a cocktail of different antiretrovirals that work together. And it's been around for over 20 years. It's just how we use these ARVs that have now changed. So PrEP is now, it's the same, it's Truvada, but you're now using it as pre-exposure. So
it's prevention.
Yes. That's it. There we go. Exactly. That was the word you were prevention. Looking for.
The switch just went off.
Instead of all these other big fancy words, let's keep it simple.
Simple is the way forward.
There we go.
Yeah. So it's now readily available. If I've had unprotected sex today and I go to my local health for men clinic and I feel that I may be at risk of HIV infection, then I can go on PEP, which is post-exposure prophylaxis, which is basically the same thing. I'll be given the same pill to take and to ensure that the virus doesn't survive in my body. But you can also take it as PrEP, which is pre-exposure.
See, it's like one pill covers everything.
Yes.
Okay, you got it?
No, I have one more question. In terms of who is this marketed towards? Like, what is the price range? Like, who is this for?
So anyone who feels that they may be at risk of HIV infection, whether or not, so they might be HIV negative and they want to stay HIV negative. So that anyone who's HIV negative can go on PrEP.
But are these drugs affordable? That's what I'm asking.
So if you go on one of our clinical trials, if you go to healthformen.co.za and check out one of our local clinics and you fall into a specific category of MSM, who's men who have sex with men, you might be able to fall into one of our trials and you'll be able to take it for free as part of a specific program that we have going at the moment. But generally, no, you have to pay for it like you would any other medication if you were taking it via your GP. But soon we're hoping that those things might change. And there's also new, fantastic, amazing legislation that's being passed with regards to sex workers. So male and female sex workers will be afforded to be able to take PrEP to make sure that they can minimize, if they are HIV negative, to minimize their chances of HIV infection in the future. But all of these things are still, it's new. This is like happening right now as we speak. It's a very exciting time.
Mm. Okay, are you happy?
Thank you very much.
Are we satisfied?
Yes.
Good.
Satisfied.
My questions are answered.
Good. So this is a place where you can definitely get
satisfaction.
Okay, sexual choice. This came up as a fascinating conversation that Bruce and I had in the week. With so many levels and so many layers, where do we make our choices from? Are we making fear-based choices? Are we making love-based choices? Are we making contractive choices? Are we making expansive choices? Are we making choices that allow us to be authentic in a society where sexual judgment is the deepest and highest level of judgment that exists? Are we making choices from the heart? Are we making choices out of the story of who we are, or are we making choices out of who we are as individuals? Not tribal stories, not family stories, not limiting stories. And what do the choices say about us? And a difference between conscious choices and choices under the influence, because that's where a lot of sexual choices come from. And what is the difference? And if we are willing to do something with a little bit of chemical help along the way in some form, how authentic is that? Because there might be quite a level of authenticity in that actually. And that's where we start. Very simple. Most of our sexual choices come from a place of fear rather than a place of love. Yes?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Also a place of lack of knowledge.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's true. A place of ignorance rather mm-hmm. than a place of empowerment.
Yeah.
And it's because so many of us have shoved our senses of self when it comes to sexuality into the dark, into the shadow aspect of ourselves. We don't want to see it.
So a lot of the core of this comes down to being sexually authentic, which means firstly we have to examine who we are sexually. And for a lot of us, that means going into the shadow. And we need to be able to do that without judgment, without fear. So for me, one of the best references for this is my friend Galen Fuss's book, Decoding Your Kink, which is available on the web, on Amazon. And that will really start to put you in touch with who you are sexually. So let's do a little bit of a round here.
Of decoding our kinks.
What does sexual authenticity mean for you?
Sexual authenticity means, I guess, just really finding out what you are. So finding, it's the same as finding your authentic voice in a way. So finding out what you are, what you stand for, and making sure that in a sexual environment, those standards are withheld. And, never compromising on those standards.
Okay, what does that mean exactly?
I don't know. It kind of makes sense in my head.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It kind of does.
Improvising, and you're really in the way, Josie.
Yes. You're saying no. You're blocking.
You know those kids in the class, like say once good sentence off the hook.
Yeah. It sounded good. It sounded good. What I'm basically trying to say is, for me, it's about having standards and. Making sure that whatever I do sexually sticks to my authentic self and is true for me.
So where do the standards come from?
I don't know. That is the problem.
I
don't know where it comes from. I really don't. And I don't know if it's from my sexual experience and what I feel comfortable doing or not comfortable doing. But I don't know where exactly it comes from.
Okay, that's great. Bruce, what does it mean for you?
For me, I think it's an amalgamation of everything that makes me who I am. So it's obviously my history, where I come from. You know, I went to boarding school in the Eastern Cape with a whole lot of big, scary rugby boys. So there is like this weird fetish when it comes to rugby. Mm-hmm. That's an example of how my sexuality has come into being as a result of my background. Mm-hmm. But authenticity is about, truth. So what is my truth? And my truth is that my sexuality falls into this interesting sort of gray area in my mind where nothing is hard and fast and black and white and cut and dried. Everything, it's fluid, it's organic, it's something that grows. And also who I am sexually today is not necessarily who I'm going to be tomorrow. So I think as long as I feel a sense of resonance, you know that weird feeling you get when you listen to a song and you get that weird like energy up and down your spine?
Yes.
It's the same thing when you see somebody and you're like, oh, I want to have sex with that person. Or that song just makes me want to move my booty.
Bruce is making me want to be a gay man. Just saying.
It's so true. It's the best commercial.
I want to be a gay man.
So that's really interesting. Yes. We're going to come back to that idea, especially of the labels.
Yeah.
Because how the labels limit sexual authenticity. Okay. Sexual authenticity for you. What does that mean?
I think for me, I just want to look at the word choice, first of all, because I think choice is such an interesting thing as well, because we make choices, but how free are those choices? We always kind of at the mercy of where we've come from. So we, I think, often make the same dysfunctional choices without even realizing it and thinking we're making a new choice every time and then realizing we're back in the same old pattern that we've always been in. So for me, the authentic choice is really to start looking at what do I really want and is what I'm constantly choosing in line with what I really want. So I think that for me is where the authenticity lies. It's starting to look at the dysfunction and starting to actively and consciously move away from those dysfunctional choices.
So you have to start out with the what you don't want.
Unfortunately, I think that is where it starts, mm-hmm. because I think you kind of have to hit your head a few times to know what you don't want and mm. become aware of it, because otherwise you keep making those dysfunctional choices. So I think it does unfortunately mm. start from there. Okay. In an ideal world, it would start from yeah. the positive.
Okay. So interesting idea then about that we have and that we use in Eros Life is the idea of healing with pleasure mm. rather than with pain. Mm. So we can come back to that one. Okay. What's it for you?
So I'll just, because I resonate, it sits with me, and I agree with what Brucey said and what Deborah is saying, but from my own journey, I will go to the end. It's the sides we call ugly. It's the mm-hmm. sides we don't want to acknowledge in ourselves. It's our, the full expression of ourselves that we are not aware of, or maybe we haven't got there yet, but it's the places of the full spectrum of who we are and owning it. And that is something that only with you and through the journey I'm going through in the late stages of my life as a 100-year-old woman, I get to understand it's really not about sitting and talking about life or, you know, doing that position that it's not about that. It's about true exploration and owning everything that you are.
I love mm. that. So, ownership. Mm. Ownership.
So, yeah. Okay, so let's go around with this whole thing. The first thing that you said that's really beautiful is that you don't know where the choices always come from.
Yeah.
And that's amazing, because we need to start looking at some of those to say how much of those choices are mine personally and how much come from
society.
From a family, from a society, from a religion, from the expectations that have been put on you of how you think you should be.
Mm.
And that becomes the interesting thing with that.
And it could border on problematic if it's too much of the one and not the other.
Yeah, well, simply saying this life that I'm living, how much of it is mine or how much of it is this story, this expectation of what I think I need to do and be to be accepted.
Yeah. And I think what I need to strive for is a place of, and what I was trying to say is to have sexual empowerment. So be able to choose. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, but to make the choice conscious.
Consciously, most, exactly.
That's it, because most of the choices are not conscious.
Consciously and from my authentic mm. self. That's yeah. what I was trying yeah. to say.
And then what Bruce said about the labels becomes so important, because once we define ourselves as something sexually, that's the box we tend to put ourselves in.
Yeah.
And as soon as something comes that takes us beyond that, we struggle with that, because my self-definition has to change before I can allow that.
Yeah, well, there can be a lot of trauma involved as well in the choices mm. that are not made available to you. So for myself, being a little gay boy running around, you know.
The cutest gay boy.
Love you, Claude. The fact that I didn't have the choice mm. to be sexually attracted to mm. women in the way that I wanted to be was also quite limiting and frightening and like devastating in some ways, because I mm. was like, well, you know, why am I not feeling the mm. same way about the girls in the class that the boys seem to be feeling? And that also, so sometimes it's the choices that you don't mm. get to make that become who you, you know, define you sexually in many ways, unfortunately, mm. as well.
And being fluid really allows us to make those different choices, to mm. have the experiences. So one of the principles that I teach so much is about the idea of a conscious choice, which says if I am going to have a sexual essential experience, the place that I choose to have that from becomes important, because the intention makes it important. So if I go into an experience just because, then there's no real consciousness in that. And that's where a lot of trauma comes, because what have I done? Who am I after this? But if I go into this experience saying, what could I learn about myself? What could I learn about my partner? What could be healed? What could be revealed? What are the possibilities in that? Then we actually create something that allows for a beautiful conscious choice. And at the end of that, I say, this is what I've learned. That's a journey or a path I want to go back down again or further, or that was it. Thank you very, very much. Which kind of brings up where you started, which said that we generally start that from a pain place,
mm.
from a limitation, from a dysfunction. I'm unsatisfied. I'm unhappy. This isn't working. And there's two kind of perspectives on healing, which says we either heal from a place of pain, which is where most people start a healing journey. And from there, we can say, if I choose to heal with that energy of pleasure, I'm opening up to amazing possibilities. which requires a huge mind shift. Because instead of being stuck in the past or wanting to heal that past, which actually becomes quite a useless activity. And the more time we spend trying to change that past, the more entangled and embroiled we get in it, and we can't move forward. But with possibility comes the amazing space of choice. Because only in possibility can there be choice, and choice that I might not have even been aware of, because being stuck in the past gives me a very limited perspective.
Mm.
And it's a huge mind shift. It's a huge healing shift that says, can I go from one space to the other? And from possibility, I can create a life. I can create relationships. I can create experiences that allow for something totally different. And then owning yourself, which is just vital. And unfortunately, what we've been given is this absolute impossibility of having to be perfect, which doesn't allow us anything, because there's no way we are ever going to reach there. But to say
I'm
that...
I'm close. I'm pretty
oh
damn
my
close.
God.
We have to, but we have to go a step before that and just understand that sexual choice. Before that, we need to know what as you said, owning it. But you know, like President of Uganda said, is to be gay is sexual choice. You know, they actually created a whole study for him just to it raised so many eyebrows and so much anger that actually universities did studies to show. Mr. President, it's not a sexual choice to have a sexual orientation, but then your sexual choices...
Yeah, but the expression of that becomes the choice.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, so and what you do is always a choice. Mm-hmm.
That's it. And how you choose to do it and with who you choose to do it. And then again to say, do I need to be stuck in that label? So if the label is that I am gay, does that limit my choices? Because if something comes up that says this could be an interesting experience... Does the gender of the person involved in the experience matter so much? And that's just where we start to free ourselves into possibility. So choice and possibility kind of go really well together. But possibility says that we don't always know the outcome of something. And for a lot of us, that becomes the scary thought, because I think I know what a relationship should look like. I think I know what a sexual experience should look like, how it should end, what the parameters of that are, instead of saying, maybe I don't know that. And if I'm willing to say that there's this level of freedom there, where can this experience take us today?
Yeah, something scary. Ah. That's exciting. A whole different scary thing.
So that's the biggest thing, is fear shuts down a lot of these choices.
It does. Yeah.
And the fear comes from the stories. It comes from the myths. It comes from something really deep inside of us that often is this incredible generational pattern that says, this is how you have to be, and if you're beyond that, you are out.
Slut shaming.
Yeah.
It's also a lack of knowledge. It really is. You know, it's a lack of knowing where this can take you.
And
or
that's
what it can,
yeah. So you know what
you can actually experience and go through. And
you know, a couple of weeks ago we did a beautiful interview with Jessica on her sexual and healing journey. And she said something in that applies to so many people who are or who allow themselves to go into certain experiences. And at the beginning of it, very often we ask people, what's the scariest part about this for you? And the biggest fear often is, I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah. That is scary, by the way.
Yes. So I'm going to go have a bondage experience. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go to...
And then I'm
going to
become addicted.
Yeah, I'm going to go to a swingers party. I'm going to enjoy it.
I'm going to want sex all the time. I
find myself smacking myself in inappropriate times like in the queue at Woolies.
I'm going to go and be a model for a massage at Sexpo, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go and be nude on the beach in Mozambique, and I'm going to enjoy it.
How was Mozambique, by the way?
It was mind-blowing. It was life-changing.
That's amazing.
And the amazing thing is I learned more there, I think, than anybody else.
But that's beautiful. That's part of the experience as well, I guess.
And within the next week, we will have a date for the next Mozambique adventure.
Shotgun is coming on that one. Coming.
Wait, I got a Mozambique idea for you.
Oh, yay.
Oh, no. What now?
Jittery citizens.
Okay, Daniel, listen, we have a problem.
No, Daniel's going to like this one.
Oh, Willie. Oh, Willie.
Go swimming with Claudine.
Oh, Willie.
Yeah. Instead of swimming with Claudine. With dolphins, you can swim with killer whales and Claudine.
Mermaid.
Yes. See, now you've totally derailed.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, you're not sorry one little bit.
That's why I'm here.
Absolutely. But that's the thing, is that we're actually going to enjoy it, and that scares us, because our whole self-definition has to change. So I think of my personal sexual journey, which in the beginning was kind of going to have every single experience that I could, because I want to know what it was all about. And then you wake up the next morning and you think about, who the fuck am I now? Because I've done something that was so far beyond, and who am I?
Did you wake up one morning and think, oh, am I pregnant?
No. I had just enough information to know that that was not in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, but that's also a part of sexual choice, a part of having it anyway, another interesting.
But that's why one of the things that becomes so important in this is the idea of community. And the different communities that can give us advice and guidance and mentorship and even simply people to talk to about these things. Because a lot of times you go and you do something and then who do you talk to the next day?
You don't. You keep it a dirty secret or something like that, and it remains something that you think is dirty and dark and, you know, not to happen again.
Yeah, so having the community to share with becomes so important. Even if that's an online community, if not people, you know, this is what I did, this is how I feel. And for somebody to say, okay, that's pretty cool. What did you learn from it? What did you get from it? And that's really interesting. So what do you think the questions people need to ask themselves or their partner are in terms of the choices they make? What do you think about that?
Well, you have to ask yourself, first of all, why are you with this partner? Mm-hmm. And does this partner allows you to really be you? So that's a good question to start with before you ask the partner to do something actively. Once you feel comfortable, and that's such a horrible question, couples that come to you, I know, ask themselves, why are we together? Can I be who I really want to be? And because so many couples get together because it's comfortable, because they want the same things, because they have the same life, you know, destinations. They want the two kids. They want this house. They want to travel, whatever the case may be. Then you have to ask yourself, how silly, stupid, vulnerable, again, the word comes again, again, again. How vulnerable can I be with that partner? And how much is he allowing me to be me? And I can share something very personal, that to have a session of really owning your sexuality, and something that I'm trying in a relationship, and I'm happy to share it, you feel stupid so many times. You feel silly. You have to have humor. You have to have a good communication. All these things Jonty talk about, and I hear him talk for years. All of a sudden, you need to say, sorry, I all of a sudden got so angry. I need, you know, there's a part of me that needs to be expressed right now as anger. And the other person, you know, it's not lingerie, it's not coolness, it's not lust, it's not all those things that you really want your sex life to be. This moment of despair. But then again, you kind of recuperate sometimes and you say, okay, it's much more real than I thought. And if I put that light there, that spotlight, not like Claudine's spotlight, you know, like the other spotlight of consciousness, then you say, it's really almost like improv. Then you're like, okay, what comes next? I never expected that. So it's almost like flexibility I'm expecting my partner.
It's about saying yes to that.
Yeah. So the conscious relationship and conscious exploration, it needs to allow us to feel everything. To feel anger, to feel guilt, to feel shame, for our buttons to be pushed, to feel uncomfortable, to feel upset, to feel absolutely everything. And know that we can do something with that, but not that everything is perfect, because it's not.
No.
And especially when you go journeying in the realm of sexuality, those are the buttons that are going to be pushed more than anything else. What are the questions you think are important?
So I think a good starting point is, I mean, I think what underlies a lot of this is self-worth. And I think if people can start looking at how they see themselves and where they are on that scale, that's the place to start asking questions from. So does this make me feel good about myself or doesn't it? I think is quite a simple question. Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't know, I'm speaking from a woman's point of view, and I think it is more of a woman's, I don't want to say problem, but I think women tend to feel maybe less than they should after having had a sexual experience. I think men tend to feel quite proud of themselves, and women often feel quite empty if it's been the wrong kind of sexual experience and if it's come from a place of insecurity or trying to please or whatever other dysfunctional thing it is that women do. So I think that's one of the questions is, why am I doing this? I think that's a big one. And do I want to? It's obvious, but I think a lot of people just go with something even though they haven't stopped to answer that question. So I think getting the basics is a good place to start. And then I think a massive thing, and Tamar sort of touched on it, was communication. I think a lot of people don't communicate in that realm in terms of expressing what they want, what works, what doesn't work. So I think that's quite an important key for a lot of people at this stage that still aren't fully communicating what they want or even owning what they want. So I think those would be the questions that I would start with.
Okay, what would be your questions?
My questions would be around self-care, self-preservation. You know, in the men who have sex with men community, there's a lot of issues with regards to, there's just so many different ways of expressing yourself sexually, and it's all out there now in the social context. So there's topping and bottoming and being versatile and fisting and rimming and all these different things that can be so overwhelming. And I think it's like trying to force a little rosebud open sometimes, you know, excuse the image.
It's a very literal image. And, we like that image.
So the question for me is, what are your, you know, pace yourself. What are your limitations? Don't force yourself to do anything that you feel just because,
amen,
you know, just because all your friends are like in slings and doing whatnot, and what doesn't mean that you have to necessarily. So it's an organic thing. Just go with the flow to a certain degree, but also set boundaries for yourself and make sure that you feel safe. So do what you need to do, have your condoms and lots of lubrication ready, and be experimental, but make sure that you feel safe. So take the medication you need to take if you need to take medication in order to feel safe.
Brucey, can I go out with you for any, you know, like any dates? It's like you want that responsible but wonderful and elegant guy next to you, like, did you take the condom? Do you have the lube?
Is it scented?
Which brand?
A public service announcement with Bruce. Bruce. That's what we're going to be doing next session.
You can see this crazy BDSM, you know, homosexual club, and then you can hear Brucey like,
do you have your protection?
Yes, but after like this crazy metal, beautiful, you know, like crazy rock, and then like, hi guys, can I just say something?
Is your butt plug hygienic?
Hell yeah. Yeah,
that's a question.
Come,
that's
a I'll question. Sanitize it for you.
So now when we had coffee in the week, we were talking a little bit about this, and something very interesting along those lines came up. So we make all these safe sex choices, and we create these boundaries, and we have these discussions. And then we have a couple drinks, or we take a pill, or something else. Mm. And all of a sudden, we go into a whole different realm of experience. The interesting thing is, which one is the truer experience? Which one is a truer reflection of who we are? Because when we take a lot of the boundaries that we've created, so we've created them out of fear. We've created them out of a sense of responsibility or so-called responsibility. We've created them out of what we think is okay, what we think we should be, what the other person thinks they should be, or the other people, because we need to expand the possibilities here.
Yeah.
Which one becomes a truer reflection of who we are? Because when we take some of those filters away, even though that's not a conscious choice,
is that who we really are?
Yeah.
I think it would be a lot easier to be open under the influence. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But if it's a true reflection of who I am, my authentic self, really getting to experience something, it would absolutely have to be me being present in the moment, here I am, this is what I am experiencing, and I am here. I'm in this moment.
It's also the reality of the situation is what consequences are there going to be eventually? And that sort of boils down to what the reality of the situation is.
So, but in the moment where the filter slips,
so the issue
thought is totally gone.
So you schnaff your line of cat, or you have your five cocktails, or whatever the case may be.
You guys are going to really hectic parties.
What? You don't do it every day with your grandmother? Yeah.
Hello.
See, no more sitting at home watching MasterChef. Time to get out into the world.
The Great British Bake Off.
Yes.
And so all these inhibitions are now like washed away, and all of a sudden you've got this amazing sense of freedom. Mm. So that is definitely a part of you, but it is a part of you that I think that you need to consider when you're stone cold sober as well, because that part of you that comes out when you've had a lot of drinks still does things. It's like that Jekyll and Hyde mentality. So in order to be a healthy, well-balanced person, you need to see your Jekyll and you need to see your Hyde and honor both of them. So that's, you know, we're a multitude of beings.
We have a question actually from one of our listeners, and the question is, what advice would you give, or how can you show to a man about switching, not only a man, I think it's relevant for both sexes, that switching off the horniness and turning on their sensuality, because sexual choice is about being conscious and not being that animalistic mode. What advice would you give for people that spend all their lives being sexual, actually? People, ladies, John T?
Well, the first part of that is that a lot of people don't understand the difference between sex and sensuality and the power of that. So the real fulfillment often comes more from sensuality than just from the sex. The way that we have created sexual experiences is we've generally, and I'm making a generalization here, we've put one criterion as being the definition of a successful sexual experience, which is
orgasm.
That's it. And once that's happened, we are done, finished, complete, game over. So my joke for men is, first of all, it should be called going, not coming, because after that, I just want to kind of fall asleep. And that's kind of the end of it. Sensuality, firstly, involves a whole lot more of our bodies. It involves our senses, sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. But a really important component that sensuality has that sex doesn't is intimacy.
And emotion.
Yeah, but that's the intimacy, the connection.
Okay.
So a lot of times, sex is not intimate. Your eyes are closed, the lights are off, you're in some fantasy in your head about someone or something or whatever you're looking at on the internet today or whatever that might be. There's not a lot of intimacy in that. So when there's not intimacy, we keep looking for the next. We keep looking for the next because we're looking for some level of fulfillment. So it's kind of like eating junk food in a way. It fills your stomach, but it doesn't have a lot of nutritional value. The emotional stuff is where we find the fulfillment. So part of that becomes an education into what sensuality can be more than just sex. That's the first part. And then to actually learn something that will allow you to have some of the experiences to make that possible. And that's where we need to learn. So one of my big soapboxes is nobody teaches us to be good lovers. Not about our bodies, not about their bodies, not about a whole lot of sexual skills. And this covers the board of your sexual orientation. So just because you might be a gay man and you suck lots of cocks doesn't mean you are actually any good at it.
Yeah. Amen.
True.
And you don't know because you're watching porn as a reference.
Yeah. And that's all is the somebody's head going.
I found a website, by the way, that said recommended by women. That's bullshit. That was such a horrible website of porn. Yeah. It's like only chosen by a woman.
But that's like believing what the SABC says is news and the truth of what's going on in the country.
Yes.
So that's the really first part of it is learning that and then opening a conversation that says, I am not fulfilled at this level of sexuality. And that's one of the hardest things to do because of the fear of judgment, the fear of rejection. But if we cannot open those conversations, we cannot expand who we are. So consciousness says we need to be able to have difficult conversations.
I think a good analogy with regards to that is, you know, people talk about peeing guys pee every day into the bowl, standing. But
Some guys get it right.
Some guys, but few. And this is something that guys are doing 5 to 10 times a day. And so just because you do something regularly doesn't mean you're going to be any good at it. Whereas if you do it consciously, where every time you stand in front of the bowl, you aim for the center of the bowl, you're going to eventually become the Zen master of peeing. So it's the same sort of thing.
And the extension of
I will think about it.
The extension of that becomes, if you get it in the bowl at home, why can't you do that out in a public toilet?
Yeah.
A restaurant,
you
sword, a club or something.
Sword fighting with the guy next door.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it should also be, you know, getting hold of the right resources. Mm. Are you seeking help from someone like Jonty? Are you reading books or are you watching like snuff films? You know, because it really is going to make a difference to, you know, your sexual knowledge bank and where you are constantly referring to.
And also making yourself open to healthy criticism. So, you know, healthy criticism, not in the sense you don't want somebody telling you you suck in bed in the worst possible way and you're
maybe
a slut.
You do.
you want to have intimate relationships with people where they give you like honest feedback and say, well, you know, you do kiss a little bit like a washing machine.
Or, so here's a good way around that. And it's great for communication. Because as soon as you say something like, don't take this personally, you know you're going to get nailed.
Yeah.
This isn't really about you. You know you're going to get nailed.
I love you to bit butts. I love your butt to bits. I mean, I love you to bits, but.
Yeah, get your mind out of the ass and back into present times. So here's a good way to do that. As soon as you start with a positive statement, you got a much better chance.
Yeah, so that feels good.
I really enjoy the sex that we have. And that's one of the biggest keys. Mm. Take the word but out of the equation.
Oh.
And put and. No, the butt stuff is wonderful. Let's keep it there. But terms of communication.
Yes. Double T butt is amazing. Single T butt is a no.
Take it
and
out,
let's
yes.
just say, I love the sex that we have. I love being with you. And I would like more of. Or wouldn't it be cool if you did?
Mm.
More
or
less.
Why don't we try this?
That's it.
Make it a we thing.
Yeah. And as soon as you take and, you're opening a possibility.
Mm.
But shuts it down because but says there's one way or another way. And that's it. And it's generally my way or the highway. And everything's shut
down.
And
but usually says anything before the but is untrue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also because our egos are so sensitive. A lot of us have our sense of self wrapped up in our sexuality. So, you know, I know for a lot of guys, they think, you know, I'm a real man. So a real man doesn't need to be told how to have sex by his lover. So if somebody says to a really macho identifying person, listen, you know, you need to be a little bit more like this or like that, they might take it like they're crap.
Yeah. I had a guy phoned me a little while ago, a few months back. He says, 3 women have told me I need to come and see you.
Oh, God.
Not one. 3.
So first, maybe he's just hanging out in the right, you know, society.
Circles.
Yeah.
That could be an oy vey, or that could be a
good friends.
Thing.
But.
A woohoo.
So we're definitely going to put a bat in here. Do you think he did?
No.
No.
And that's why he's not getting any more sex.
Yeah.
Can pay for it.
Yeah, not that coming to see me is the be-all and end-all, but simply saying, if so many people have said to you, you actually need to do something different, and obviously his ego was that, they don't know what they're talking about.
But that's exactly what Bruce is saying. Mm. Bruce is saying, just be open.
Yeah. Mm.
Just be open. And the people who are giving criticism, do it in a way that it's constructive and helpful and sexy.
Mm. And that's why. Take the butt out.
Not that it's soul-destroying.
Yeah.
And say,
yeah.
What can we create here, rather than what we can destroy?
Mm. I think such a big thing as well is presence. I think so many people just aren't even present, really.
No, of course not.
And I think that goes back to alcohol, funny enough, because I think one thing alcohol does is make you extremely present. You kind of don't care about consequences. Mm. You don't care about too much about you just in the present moment. And that goes back to what you were talking about earlier.
So, you know, in Mozambique, they drink this thing called R&R, which is rum and raspberry.
Why didn't you bring any for us?
It's really simple. We go up to the bottle store. You buy the cheapest rum you can find. What, $20 a bottle? I don't know, rum cross. And you buy this red sparberry.
This would be a very different show.
And that's what they mix. And they drink it out of these beer mugs.
Ugh.
like from 9 a.m. or whenever bars open. So we were sitting having coffee one afternoon. It was about 3 p.m. And there's this whole party of people. And there's this woman, it's her birthday, and she's been drinking this thing since whenever. And she's dancing around this pub, and all the locals are just kind of looking at her and shaking their heads in various levels of embarrassment. And my whole thing was, can you do that stone cold sober at 3 p.m? afternoon? And I've been in so many situations, sexual situations, where people do things purely fueled by that. And for me, consciousness is always do that stone cold sober or don't.
True. But that's also, it's the same thing in an improv environment. You know, when people have to come to us for a workshop or when we do something with corporates, you know, they have to be totally vulnerable.
Mm.
And in the same space of having to be silly or do something that really scares them, but in a totally sober environment. Mm. And that for people is possibly the scariest thing in the world. So to overcome that,
and so
is
much
a
of
really
that is not being
breakthrough.
It's not being comfortable with who we are and not being present in that. And that's the simple truth of it. So, okay. This would be a really good time for you to do a sex position if you wanna.
Yeah, I wanna.
Then do it.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay, get off. Take your clothes off.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. There we go. No. The one taking your clothes off today is Deborah. Rusty said so. And what Dusty says goes, right?
Yes,
nobody
yes.
Who's Dusty? About that.
Who's Dusty?
Exactly.
Who's that person? Is that your alter ego? What's going on? Subconscious. Anyway. No, I
told
was,
you being here is interesting for the first time.
Well, and that's I'm a serious conversation to today, actually. So there I want to just confess, my boyfriend was here yesterday in a show, and he got like he put sex talk to shame. Okay, he, like took off his clothes and stuff. So I was like, "We are the elegant one. Good job, John."
Well,
T.
We are always going to be different.
Yes.
And if everybody else takes their clothes off, we'll stand and watch them happily. Yeah.
And so. I was just thinking about the topic you said, and I was scrolling and looking for information, and then I found this funny three sexual positions to get fit.
Ooh, okay, that's good.
And I started. I just wanted to send you like for the funnies because I thought of myself trying to concentrate and doing sexual exercise, you know, and it was like no consciousness, vulnerability, you know, and then also activity, physical activity. You want to kill me? So like, what do you want to do?
Seen some beautiful stuff around that. So, are we doing this? Or are we talking about it? Are we doers or talkers today?
Well, it really depends. Are you going to do it with me? No,
Bruce is going to do it with me.
Okay. So
I'm doing the commentary.
Okay, so I need somebody with a good phone that's going to periscope it. If not, I can periscope it from my phone. Not a problem. Claudine, no.
I don't have periscope. Sorry, my darling.
All right, not a problem. So I will periscope it.
Time is running short, so we have to get to this thing.
Oh, wow, we have lots of time. The idea is that, Bruce, you need to lie down.
Lie down on my back.
Yeah, we'll take a video of you.
On your back.
Yeah.
We'll take embarrassing photos. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you just take the photos. That will be good enough.
Yes, we promise.
So any reputation
this.
That you might have had might. Has just disappeared.
Gone out the window. Yeah.
So that might what happens when you're in the studio, which is pretty good. There we go. Somebody got some lube. Dunk, we need some lube, please. Some gloves, some lube.
Okay, here are three sex positions that will give you a toned body. Now, that is, for me, already a good incentive for sex.
Okay.
Already has a toned body, so that's good.
So, okay, I can't talk, so Deborah's going to give it or in Claudine.
So Deborah's going to do the commentary. Claudine's going to do the commentary.
Okay.
So they're in the starting gate, and away they go.
Okay.
So that's
the first one. Okay, so it is kind of like, it's kind of like two people saddled, sitting on top of each other, legs crossed.
Okay, so
it's two. Are they sitting face to face? It works on your bum.
I'm doing it with a gorgeous gay guy. That's again a compliment.
And their knees are crossed.
Okay.
I think trying to describe this step by step is actually okay. Everybody's kind of interested out there.
All right. So I can't really see my like my not so pretty side at the moment, and you just go.
And they are doing bum thrusts. They are doing
bum
thrusts.
Can you withdraw the dildo for anal stimulation as well in the meantime.
Oh, and you can use a double-sided dildo for anal stimulation. That is what is going on in studio.
Second one, yeah, it works. It works. Yeah.
And both of them are feeling their core, feeling their butts, because feeling their kegels. Everybody in studio, the producers are looking through the window. We are creating some sort of scene here, which is fantastic. And at the same time, they are working their buns. Their bums, their tums.
Okay, so the interesting question becomes, how do you do this on your own? And that's really interesting. So you want to do an amazing sexual exercise on your own. Get an exercise ball, like a Pilates ball. Do some self-pleasuring and do ab exercises at the same time.
That's good.
And that's how you do it on your own.
And I guess self-pleasuring does work some muscles somewhere.
Absolutely.
I guess if you're not pulling something, you aren't really doing.
Okay, so that has quite a lot of double meanings.
Can we talk about it later?
You're not pulling
Brucey's
something.
Brucey's doing exercise. So this is for the strap-on position / doggy style, but it's a yoga flow. So you work on your arms and everything.
Oh, okay.
And you just basically do that, and you can do it with... and go down.
Bruce is a little too supple. It's actually worrying.
Okay. And basically, I think you do the squats. So the guy behind, or the girl with the strap on, which is also cool, doing the squats, okay? Down dog. It's a
downwards dog in yoga, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the sexual down dog from behind.
It looks and we like have a one lot last of work. One. I think almost any sex position, just try to keep yourself in the air. You'll do just fine.
Or try to throw someone else in the air.
Plow. That's
the
it.
Plow. Okay, I think the plow. So you go down on hand, on your hands. And then I take your leg.
Oh, no. Oh, this is like a wheelbarrow.
So this is a wheelbarrow. There we go.
Whoa, this is real.
There we go. There's the wheelbarrow.
There we go. It's similar to the wheelbarrow.
Yeah, not. I don't get plow from that, but wheelbarrow I get. Wheelbarrow I get.
Can I just say that people are having too much fun in the studio?
You think so? I don't think we've gotten anywhere near the possibilities.
I think we should do a sex competition for, like, in that... poses.
You can do the best wheelbarrow.
I'm so winning.
I wish I had a cigarette, and I don't even smoke.
That was hot, guys.
Oh. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jonty.
Bruce, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
It's wonderful that you came to throw your name away. We dig that.
we destroy one by one. One by one, lose their jobs, lose their credibility.
But look how it raises their credibility. I mean, look what happened after Anastasia sat with us for a little bit.
Exactly.
She's now the superstar, which is fantastic.
By the way,
well done. We are so pleased for her.
Yeah, just...
with so much love. So see what's possible for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is where it starts.
Your next book is coming up.
So there we go.
It'll be about sex positions.
It'll be a pop-up book, yeah. Sex position pop-up book.
I've taken the photos already.
There we go.
Please show me before you advertise them.
Okay. So up next, everybody, is Casper and the team. A very exciting thing happening in Joburg next week. My wonderful friend Valentina is going to be here from Cape Town.
Whoop, whoop.
And next Friday night, she is doing a most awesome event called the Pussy Room. So if you want the link to that, it is on Facebook. Look for Valentina Mrs. Love, the Pussy Room. You can also get
sounds
it through
so bad.
Me.
Sounds horrible. She's
it's
amazing.
An amazing evening. And if you go back a couple of weeks, her and I had the most amazing conversation on conscious sexuality on Tantra. And she will be here doing the Pussy Room. Which is this amazing evening using a whole lot of multimedia as a starting point for discussion on eroticism, on sexuality, on sensuality, on sexual energy. It's for men and women and couples. It's for people of every sexual orientation. It's for all genders. It's for all ages. Probably over 18 would be advised. Otherwise, we get in trouble when your mommy phones and says, "What were you doing with my..." We'll stop that sentence.
My sister just took a picture of Valentina's post that was on my wall because I'm really admiring her work. And she says, "Only on your wall." You know, she's like, "What the hell? The Pussy Room?" I'm like, "She's amazing. It's just a very bad name."
So it's a really beautiful, it's a very enlightening evening. And that's next Friday night. And I highly recommend that you all come along. I'm going to be there.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that's really fantastic. please visit the website, www.eroslife.co.za. Lots of cool stuff happening there. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much. It's been a fascinating discussion.
Thank you, lovely Jonty.
It's been really beautiful.
Thanks, Jont.
Thanks, guys.
I didn't sing once.
Okay, 1 minute. Come on. Sexual choice. Let's go.
Wait. Sorry. It's coming.
This is the bullseye.
Okay, go.
Oh, baby. If you want me to hear your voice, you gotta tell me about your sexual orientation. You gotta let me know your choice. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah.
Alrighty then.
It's not sex talk without at least one song.
Well, I'm fully there. I think that's beautiful. And I love what you bring to this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And it's always such an honor to share with everybody here, because what we do is so special.
It is.
And from the messages and emails that I get, what people are learning from the show, what people are being able to discover about themselves, the discussions it's bringing up in relationships, even within individuals, what they are able to start exploring within themselves from what we're doing here is an incredibly special platform. And it is touching so many people around the world, which is fascinating when we start getting emails from everywhere. And you know that about 10% of our listeners, I have no idea how this happened, are from Australia.
Down under.
Yes.
So the colony.
G'day, mate.
I was
thinking earlier, if I said anywhere else that I was having coffee with Bruce, that would be in South Africa, we could say that with a straight face. In Melbourne, we could not.
Yeah. Totally. So heaps of fun.
So please join us next week. I have no idea yet where we are going, but it's going to be fun. And it might just be naughty.
Hope so.
But we'll share some interesting things with you. I heard a beautiful song in the week, and that's what we're playing out with. So we wish you all so much pleasure.
Peace, y'all.
Have a fun weekend.
This is CliffCentral.com.